Jeff here. Thanks for listening. Go to playvolutionhq.com/ccbag or click the link in the show notes for the show's archives, ways to connect, ways to support the show, information about happy hour, and more. Johnson coming to you from the snuggery along the upstairs studio in the snuggery along the Gulf of Mexico. With me, R&R, Rachel and Rebecca. How y'all doing?
I'm doing great. Even better now that we've done pods. So now I'm in a chipper mood. I was kind of tired before.
yeah. Podcasting makes you chipper. So look, we got a topic to jump into. Rebecca brought this to us. It's something I am very uncomfortable with and didn't do a lot of, although it's probably a good idea. But first, a would you rather from co-host Brett. Would you rather be covered in feathers or scales?
Ooh. Let me chew on that for a second.
You don't
if
get
I'm
any
covered
powers.
In feathers, wait, yeah, can I fly if I'm covered?
No, you don't get any powers. You can't breathe underwater or catch things with your tongue if
your
you have
skin is
scale.
Just different. Okay.
Yeah.
Feathers.
Oh. Feathers.
Feathers.
Why? I think
like,
I would
listen, you're talking to the crazy chicken lady. Feathers.
Oh, well, there you go.
I would pick scales because I feel like I would have an easier time making the transition. Like, because feathers, it's like you're gonna be a different shape. You know, you're going to probably be bigger and like fluffier, but like with scales, like my body will probably just stay the same, but just be scaly. And so maybe my eczema would go away.
You know,
I'm already kind of scaly.
now I'm thinking like, if I have scales, there would be less touch. I'm like overstimulated by touch. So like that.
Well, I mean, feathers would kind of be a touch shield, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
No, people are going to pet feathers. No. Don't you want to touch a feather when you see a feather? Like, well, I'm thinking small children, they're going to be like...
Yeah, so, like, you wouldn't feel the touch, but you'd feel the pressure all the time.
I prefer touching...
I don't want scales in my bed.
Oh, you would have to shed.
Yeah.
But you know what? Feathers shed, too, so...
Yeah.
But I can use it to make
that's, like,
kind
of cute. I feel like it's cute. Like, you get up out of bed, there's a cute little couple of feathers. Like, oh,
a couple?
You get up out of bed.
You should see when I let my birds out. My geese, it looks like there was a massacre. Like, you should be looking for a body. It is not cute.
But with the feathers, you can make a throw pillow or something.
What
are you going to do with... How do you recycle scales?
You don't.
Take them to the classroom, let the kids look at them?
Yeah, you put them under a microscope. That's what
fertile?
I was going to say.
Would it be fertilizer? Could you use it as like compost?
I don't know. Probably. You could probably like grind it up and turn it into like a tea or something.
Mulch. You could make tea.
Yeah.
Scaly tea.
Scale tea.
I got a scale.
I'm telling you, since I became a forest school teacher, you would be surprised at the things that you can forage and consume in various ways.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if there's like a rattlesnake skin tea herbal thing out there. I would not be surprised.
No, that sounds like a very California. That sounds like a very California thing. So we're talking about family get-togethers because Rachel is planning one. Rebecca.
We both are. Actually, I have one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I have one March 8th coming up.
Ours is March 23rd.
Okay, you guys explained to me all the good stuff about these because I didn't do very many of them, and they were partially because I'm antisocial, probably. Also,
I think
because
there's more pros than cons, I think, but there are a few cons that I think we should.
All right, let's hear it.
I think the pros. So, like, I had before forest school started, we had like a meet and greet. Because it was a new program, I wanted to meet the kids, and so those are like super awkward, right? Because no one knows each other, it's all brand new, the kids don't know me. So that was like, it didn't feel super great at the end because it was still kind of awkward, but all the parents were super happy and thankful. And like, I had to remember, like, the kids didn't really engage with me because they don't know me from Adam. And so everything's fine. But I was kind of nervous, like, moving into the school year, like how the family gatherings would go. Because I have some parents, I mean, everyone has their personalities, right? Some people are very social, some people are not. I just happen to have a group of parents. I feel like there's a handful of them that are talkative, and then a lot of them are kind of just quieter. Maybe take a little bit of time to warm up, which is difficult to make friendships and relationships when they're only seeing these people at drop off and pick up. And, you know, just now, 7 months into the school year, like, the kids are starting to like want play dates with each other. So it's taken time. In December, we had a winter solstice gathering, which went pretty well. We went to a picnic area on the mountain. Like, so our forest school is in the foothills, and then I planned the picnic like on the mountain in the state park. And so it was just a new place for us to go. The kids were able to go in like these caves, and we went hiking and did all these wonderful things. And so I think that the pro of it is for the parents to see their children engaging with their peers, which they don't get to see very much. So, you know, the parents are always wanting to sneak up on the kids at pickup time because they want to get that little like window to see them, like, how do they behave with their friends? So that's really nice to have parents have that time where they can sit and they don't have to leave, and they can watch the kids play with each other. And they see the relationships and the friendships that they've built and how different their child is, you know, in different situations and with different people. And it's really nice to have the parents be able to talk with each other. And, you know, I'm kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off at these events, just kind of making sure that everybody's good to go and we're not needing anything. And the times where I stop and I look and I pause, I look around and I see people that are, you know, sitting there eating two or three families together and talking about their home lives and talking about where they went on vacation and just really connecting. And those moments to me are super, super, super valuable. And so we're looking forward to our spring gathering, which is in a few weeks. But I did try to make a couple tweaks to our plans because of just some interesting things. Like at the winter solstice gathering, sometimes parents have difficulty like boundary setting, whether in general or in front of other parents. And so there were some like water spigots at these picnic areas where the kids were playing with them, and like they shouldn't have been because they were spraying water everywhere. It was cold outside. And like the parents, I feel like, didn't feel comfortable telling their kids no, that they couldn't do that. So I had to go in and step in and separate. So I was like, okay, we're not going to have a picnic area with water spigots. And like these little things that I didn't really think about, that, yeah, it's weird for parents to set boundaries. Sometimes they feel uncomfortable doing that in like a group setting. So that was a very interesting dynamic that I'm trying to like avoid that as much as I can. And then like the activities that I put out, I'm very like play-based. I don't care. I put out the stuff, they use it as they wish. But it was interesting because I do have some boundaries when it comes to materials. Like I put out some wax things and we were like making candles and stuff. And like, I don't want them thrown off into the grass, right? Like that is a boundary that we'll set, is that we want to keep these pieces in this area because we're making candles. And that also was a struggle for, they're like laughing when their child is doing these things. And I don't think the laughter is even because they think it's funny, but because they're uncomfortable. And so, yeah, just those moments where I feel like I, even among all these adults, have to be the person to like be like, oh, like we're going to keep the wax here at the table so that we can keep using it for the rest of the day type of thing.
And I feel I don't like know if that you've seen when, that. Like, yes, you're the person, like as a mom, because I've taken Sebastian to family gatherings and he just loses his mind, right? Like there's a bunch of people, his friends are there, like, oh my gosh, let's go, we're gonna go crazy bonkers, do things we don't normally do. Mm-hmm. And it's like when the teacher, so like you, we're not throwing these over here, I can step up behind you and say like, did you hear her? Mm-hmm. Okay, you heard her, we have to keep it here. So right. Because you also worry like as a parent about in today's society, the other parent's judging you.
Like, yes. Right? Like, I feel that worry. Sick,
or, oh, she's too soft. Or there's just too much. We put too much pressure to, like, okay, they're kids. Your mm-hmm. kid's not going to listen. Your kid's going to do these things. Like,
yeah,
we know this as providers, right?
Yeah. Like,
we know this. We're not judging. But at the same time, I mean, okay, granted, sometimes I do. Like, come on.
We try not to. It's hard. Yeah, right. That's kind of how I felt like when the water spigot was being turned and like no one was doing anything. That's in my mind. I'm like, is no one gonna, like, because I was kind of on this other side of this area and I had to walk over and ask them to stop. I was just, it's too cold to be spraying water because it was the middle of winter. So yeah, it's just sometimes you are like, come on. But I did feel that worry, that social tension. And so I think another, that's even more so of a reason to like continue getting these people together, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of my families are going to re-enroll for the following school year. And so, you know, yay, this could potentially be like the second or third gathering of many for many moving forward. And so if we keep getting together with the same group of people, and that's what's nice about like my mixed age program is kids can stay in the one class with these same kids for many years, that hopefully that tension and that worry will dissipate a little bit. But also, like myself as a person who chooses the environment for these gatherings, like I'm not gonna I picked an area that there's no water spigot, there's no area that the kids can do that with. Now in the summertime that'd be fun, right? So maybe I'd pick it in the summertime. We do a gathering, let's find some places with water spigot. So just thinking about those things. And then like the activities that I decided to put out for our spring project, I just put it so loose and like play-based, and like the materials are so natural that if the, like, it's going to be air dried clay and dried flowers and they can make whatever they want with it. So they throw a piece of clay, who cares? If the flowers get on the ground, who cares? And then they're going to be rolling like native seed balls with soil and clay so they could take them home and plant them. And so it's like, just me, those are little things that I can do that can make those activities and experiences more successful. Right.
Right.
I don't have to, if someone throws a handful of seeds, like, great. Who cares? So just, yeah, I think that we can only do so much, you know, as teachers in those situations. And we can only expect parents to do so much with all of the societal pressures that people have. And so, but I think our role is just continue like fostering relationships.
Yeah. That's what we do. Family night. Like, I think we have to do like 5 or 6 a year. Like, that's just kind of what my boss has set as like, she wants accomplished. So we're doing the Read Across America week. And we're ending it March 8th. And last year I read books, but there were so many kids and I had to project my voice so much, I lost my voice. So this year we're going to try like a book. Have you seen those?
No.
I found it on YouTube, but it's just like, it's an interactive book using technology. I know it's not the same. I know the benefits aren't the same, but at the same time, like, I'll be doing face painting for the kids. We're going to have different snacks set up. Last year we did like a science activity, an art activity. There's coloring sheet. There's a photo booth. And one of the reasons that we do it, it's kind of going back to what you say. Like, we like to say that our center is a small community. We're a small family, but in order to be a family, you have to interact with each other. Right.
Right.
So there's these family nights so that you feel more welcome. Like, it also takes off, I feel like, the stigma of babysitting. Like, this is babysitting. Mm-hmm. No, come see what we do and let us explain, like, as we're doing these activities. Okay. Yes. Like, this is sensory. So like, I painted your child's face and 2 seconds later, she wiped it off. Some kids do that. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about that. That's a sensory thing. You know, she may not like it, and that's okay. That's not something to get so upset about. Or the science activity, you're fostering those relationships to be more of a family and less of like, here's my kid, bye type.
Yeah. And I think what you're speaking to is like modeling for parents, like how we would handle situations, which I think you can only do so much during drop off and pickup. But when you're with a parent or a family for an hour or two, and there's a conflict, I think a lot of times when there's a conflict among kids and both parents are around, they don't know what to do. So I step in because I feel like here's how I can show them how we would handle this at school. And they really appreciate that kind of stuff. Right. Because they're like, oh, I've heard them like, oh, it's like you have magic words when it comes to conflict resolution. I'm like, I don't have magic words, but I do have tools. Like these are phrases that if you learn these certain phrases, they're like, oh, it sounds like this is happening for you. It sounds like this is happening for you. What could you like? You know, we have all of those little tools that we pull out of our toolkit because we've practiced it so much. And so, you know, for them to feel empowered as parents too, is like, you can do this with your child at home. I'm not a magical person, even though they feel that way sometimes. And modeling, like you said, for sometimes a parent will want it. Maybe they at the winter solstice gathering, oh, let's go make a candle, Joey. And then they go sit down and he's like, I don't want to. It's like, I look at them and I'm like, that's okay. Like you can make a candle, mom. You want to sit and make a candle? He can go play. You sit and make your own candle. And just like you said, just letting that pressure off of like, just because we have these activities set up doesn't mean your child needs to do every single one or that they have to do any of them at all. Let them be, right? And I think that so many times parents feel like they can't just let their kids be, that they have to be doing something productive, right? And so, when we did our winter solstice gathering, the kids, we had like some Play-Doh and like toy worms out and they played with it for like 5 minutes and then they went off. And they were like playing their pretend games. And then this tarp with all this material sat there for the rest of that afternoon. And it kind of got played with, but not very much, you know, and that was fine. And even I started getting in my head about it, like, oh, are the parents going to think that like I put out like a shitty activity because the kids didn't want to do it. But like, I know that sometimes that happens. Like you put something out and the kids find something better to do. And like, I don't take it personally. But I almost started like questioning myself, like, are they going to think that I don't know what the kids like because they only did it for a few minutes? But I was like, okay, don't get in your head about it because you know what kids do, you know?
All right. You've both sold me on the value of this. And I'm still personally totally against it because my God, you got a group of 30 or 40 people together and everybody's feeling judged by everybody else. And that's because everybody is fucking judging everybody else. It sounds like the most uncomfortable thing in the world for me. If we all get together for the next 5 years, after 5 years, we'll be comfortable together and that'll be fine. I don't have that kind of patience. So I get the value in the relationships and all that, but, I'm getting itchy thinking about how uncomfortable it would be.
It is a choice too. Like, it's not like you have to come to these things. So like even my staff member, I'm like, you can come or don't, like, cause the parents are responsible for their own children. So I don't have to worry about ratio. But like almost everybody comes. So I think it's like something that like we put ourselves through because we know the value of it. And we're, you know, I think the parents see the value in it too, but I do think that we all have that. We have to like shake that feeling.
That's what we send out, a message that's like, family events are not mandatory, but they're highly encouraged.
Yeah. Oh, that means mandatory.
Trust me. No, trust me. No, it doesn't. Yeah,
I can't tell you
how many of my coworkers don't come.
It's so important to do things that push you out of your comfort zone socially.
But
you know, that's good to do sometimes.
At our family events, so some of us have kids who don't go to the center, you know, Sebastian goes to school all day and he's there for 20 minutes after and my husband picks him up. My coworker, her kids go to a different school district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also like we bring our kids to family event nights.
Yeah.
So it's nice for parents to sometimes see us as parents
mm-hmm.
too, like to get that, like, okay, they have been through, you know, the same thing that we're going through right now or not, or, you know, they're
seeing you
like,
as a person, like you're not just
at their kid messing up too. Like it's okay, you know, or, you know, I don't know. I think that's what I like too, is that we let in those moments, it's not like, oh, you come to the center, you're the only one who can come.
Yeah, it keeps it open. Everyone has an open experience, right?
Like, yeah.
you could meet someone's grandma, you could meet
right
someone's babysitter. And I think that's what's really nice about family gatherings too, is sometimes like you sit and you're having a conversation with like an uncle, and you're getting to know a side of this child that you maybe wouldn't have heard from a parent. Right. And so that's nice too, is to meet other people. My partner wasn't able to come to our winter solstice gathering because it was her mom's birthday, but she's coming to the spring gathering. So I'm really excited about that, because just having conversations with her, you know, it creates this, not creates, but it allows people to see me as I'm not just like the teacher and this program director. Like, I have a whole life, right? Like, I go home to somebody and we do things. And so just remembering that, like, it's easy to just compartmentalize everything. And because there's so much going on in our lives. So it's like, this person is this person is that. These are the roles that everyone has in my life. But yeah, just grounding yourself that like everyone else has their own lives too. Just like even sometimes when I hear parents, when they're like trying to finish up a work call, when they're picking up, and just hearing them in their little work mode, you know, sometimes is really eye-opening for me, because I'm like, wow, right. Look at like all that they have to navigate, right? They're trying to finish up this call real quick because they know they're supposed to have a conversation with me before they go. And hearing them in whatever role that they're in sometimes is, it allows me to give them a little bit of grace, extra grace or patience or gratitude sometimes, because I see all the things that they're doing as well. It goes both ways.
What do you think about this? What do you think about leading in to the uncomfortableness? And so then you just walk around with a clipboard the whole time, and you see somebody their kid isn't behaving or something, and their kid's having a meltdown, and you see the way they deal with it, and then you just jot a little note down on your clipboard, and you just do that for the whole 3 hours of this event.
Okay, but
wouldn't that,
you're going
that
back to the judginess yeah, that we're trying to avoid.
No, I think we should totally lean in to that judginess and just make everybody even more uncomfortable than they were anyway,
so they won't show up to the next one.
Yes, exactly. It ends up being just me and like 8 pounds potato salad or something.
I don't know if my enrollment would be continuing on for the next school year if I
So
it just makes me think of the principal off of the movie Matilda. What was her name?
Ms. Trenchfoot.
Like, yes. That's I can see her doing that. Like,
yeah, totally lean into it. So logistically, are these evening things or weekend things usually? What works best?
I do weekend things because so many people have little babies and they go to bed at like 7 p.m. or whatever. And so I try to do weekends, and I try to do it like at like the earliest, like 10 a.m. because then it's hard to get kids out of the house, you know? Sure. And so that gives them a decent enough time to like get up, get dressed, eat, transition. And generally I just try to give a good amount of notice. So I try to put our family gatherings like on the school calendar for the school year so that parents know. I mean, obviously we'll have some impromptu things. Like I might plan like a Mother's Day thing that I didn't plan ahead because I just thought of it. So I try my best to give notice, because if you give people notice and they really want to come, they'll make time for it.
Ours is typically, it depends on the event first. Like, we do a trunk or treating. This year we did it on the weekend. Other times, like our Easter egg hunt last year, we did it. It started at 5:30 and we closed at 5:45. So parents, like, and we went down to the park. There's a park like a block away from the center that we work at. Yeah. But that way, like, kids who may not normally get to participate in the Easter egg hunt because their parents don't want to get out, had the opportunity to. Yeah. And also parents who picked up early, like, okay, you can go down to the park and let your kid play on the playground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just, it's very like, I don't know. I feel like ours is really, except for when it's cold, loose based. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not anything that's like super stressful. Mm-hmm. But again, we have a park, like we do for Week of the Young Child. There will be a cookout. We'll grill burgers down at the park.
Yeah.
And like tell parents like, hey, can you bring a side dish? And that's a cultural experience, right? Like, you have the opportunity for culture and diversity in that. And then the kids go play on the playground. And I'm just like, I just literally walk around and take pictures of what's going on for our newsletter later on. Like, there's, to me, no, like, real stress.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like when I was a kid, I lived in a court. And so we kind of had, like, a tight-knit community just, like, logistically because we were in a in a court. And we would have, like, block parties where we would, like, block off the court with tables and everyone would bring out food. And that's kind of, like, what I – what my goal is, because I remember being a kid and being at those parties and like being with my neighbors and with every, and it was like you're high, you know, because you're just like on all this dopamine and serotonin because you're so damn happy, you're eating and you're, you know, and it's like late outside but you're running around the streets barefoot, and like that's the vibe that I want to curate. And it's hard, but I think it's worthwhile in doing.
What's the beverage situation?
For the family gatherings?
Yeah.
It just depends.
I mean, it's for a school. We kind of all have our hydro flasks with water inside.
I don't, you know, honestly, I don't think my bosses would be like anti having a drink. Now don't get drunk.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but like at our staff meetings, it's BYOB.
Well, as it should be. Look, I've made it public knowledge for years that I think every early learning program should have a staff margarita machine for staff meetings and gatherings like this. I mean, that should be an investment that that programs make. The best version of family gatherings that I've heard was a program I think out in Maryland. They would do a bonfire. And there would, I mean, food, everybody bring food. There was wine and it was mostly chill. Kids are running around. Nobody's falling in the fight or nobody's getting sloppy drunk. But we humans, if we're going to get rid of some of that social anxiety, we humans are still wired to connect around food and drink.
Yeah.
Right.
And fire. I mean, we're still hunter-gatherers, so sitting around the campfire and eating and drinking together is kind of one way to build community. So I guess that's what I would go with if I was going to do anything like this.
I never thought about using alcohol as a tool to lower people's inhibitions, but it does
loosen you up. It does.
I mean, you should use alcohol as a tool anytime you can.
But if you think about it, like, okay, if you go out to dinner, if you're going out to dinner with your kids,
you have a beer,
you have a drink, but it's all about being responsible about it.
Like,
but I think if that's okay, you're taking down another wall of judgment. Like, oh, okay, they're human too. You know, like a drink or two is okay with food. And as long as you're not getting like sloppy drunk or like going home and getting a DUI type deal.
Yeah, and I think communicating, like, our spring gathering, I already put out the invitation for. So I'm not going to be like, hey, by the way, there's going to be alcohol. But maybe the summer one, I could, because we're having, like, a summer barbecue. I could, like, as long as I let people know ahead of time, like, there will be beer and wine. Or, you know, no, like,
or liquor. Or BYOB, so that it's not on you to provide.
I think it'd be fun, though. I could bring some cases of beer.
And I mean, it really depends on the culture of your program and the community you're building. Sure. But,
and like the individual parents, like what if there's like someone in recovery, like you're not going to, you know.
Yeah. Right. So there's, and again, that's one thing that makes me uncomfortable about it is you got to consider all of that stuff. And so that's why I think everybody should just communicate via Zoom. Not really, I guess. No. I mean, these kind of gatherings are great ideas, and it sounds like you guys have set things up and worked out a lot of the logistics to make them less painful. But for me, it was always a painful, uncomfortable thing.
It's still a social gathering.
Yeah.
That's social. The whole social gathering. I mean, you got to put on pants. It's just a big. I mean, that's a big requirement. It just sounds like too much. But yeah. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Wish me luck. For my next one.
It's I'm gonna excited. Be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, next time we're together, you guys can report on how these events go, since you both got them on the calendar.
I have a parent who is probably going to take pictures at this event. Like, she takes professional photos, so maybe I'll send you guys some.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Listeners, this has been the Child Care Bar. Look, you can think about this podcast as your own kind of family gathering. We get together and we stick in our earbuds, and some of us pour a beverage, and some of us go for a walk, and we just kind of connect here at the podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.